You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
Hello, everyone. Alan back. Yes. Welcome to another edition of Breadline, a high entertainment version with high fidelity monophonic sound. And if you're having problems with SenseLink or your job provider, get onto our website at auwu.org.au, and there you will find information that will hopefully be of some help to you. Or you can just shoot us an email with your problem to advocacy@auwu.org.au, where we have people standing by and eager to help you. Now, just an update on Hank's court date. His court case last week, or the week before now, didn't go well. The prosecution couldn't pull their finger out in time, and so they've adjourned his case to the 28th of November at 10 a.m. But he did have a large turnout in court there with him in support, so that was great to see. Now, if I can just get Jessica on the line. There, you there, Jessica?
I certainly am. Oh, hi.
Oh, fantastic. Almost had a heart attack then. I didn't think I was going to get you on there for a minute. All right. Now, there's a petition out.
Yep, I've got that. But I reckon maybe first we can talk about a bit about the Robodebt series, The People versus Robodebt on SBS.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. 2014, Scott Morrison becomes Minister for Social Security, and that was the beginning of Robodebt and its planning stage.
Yeah, so just Daryl, you took a lot of notes, didn't you? That's what this comes from. You took notes while you watched the series.
Yeah, I did.
Good work.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so January 2015, Scott Morrison made it clear to public servants that fraud investigations and compliance interventions will increase by 900,000 over the next 4 years. When Robodebt started, the government thought that when people started getting their debt notices for $1,000, $5,000, $10,000 or more, they won't query it and they'll just pay it without question, a ridiculous assumption. Once Robodebt started, everyone was automatically guilty until they could prove themselves innocent. Even the ones that could prove they're innocent, they were still found guilty anyway because of the new computer system using income averaging said they had a debt. Well, that was that, regardless of what the recipient can prove. Then we had Jenny Blake. She was a compliance officer for Centrelink. And she says before the new system started, public servants would call employers to confirm someone's wages. When the new system started, the public servants were told they don't investigate the debts anymore.
Yeah, so then we have Colleen Taylor, who was a retired compliance officer. Mm. Her last job was a compliance officer for Centrelink, and in 2015 she was part of a team that did data matching. Robodebt was raising a debt based on this raw tax office data. Colleen Taylor and her colleagues knew that the raw data with the tax office was not useful in any way when it came to raising a debt. So she knew a discrepancy did not always mean a debt. So she wrote a letter to the supervisors telling them that they were committing fraud. So then in May, Colleen Taylor, now a retired compliance officer after 32 years in the service, could see straight away the debts sent out were incorrect and that the government was committing fraud towards welfare recipients at an industrial level. So Colleen sent an email which said, "My concerns are that this directive will result in an increase in admin, error waivers and unnecessary appeals. It goes against our duty of care. And as a compliance unit, we should not be the ones stealing from our customers. We are being asked to ignore evidence that no debt exists and to collude in raising a debt when none should exist. You are asking us to commit a fraudulent act." And of course, this all came out in the documentary, where she spoke on TV. Mm. Meanwhile, sadly, and we have to give a content warning that the following information does contain information of a sort of upsetting nature regarding suicide. So, just mentioning that the Lifeline number is 131114 if you feel affected by this. So, yes, young Reese Corso committed suicide at this time.
Mm.
And Jenny Miller, Reese's mother, explained the toll which having such a large Centrelink debt took on her son. That's also in the documentary. Then in 2016, Alan Tudge was promoted and appointed Minister for Human Services. After RoboDebt took off, compliance officer Jeannie Marie Blake and her team knew that the debts were incorrect. So each one was taken into a room on a one-to-one meeting with their team leader. There they were told that there was a direction being handed down from higher management. They were given three choices: do the job, transfer, or quit.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? But, it's interesting what she was saying earlier, that discrepancy doesn't always mean a debt. Sometimes it could mean a credit as well.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I know that people who work casually just for, say, a couple of weeks in a couple of months, you know, that means that information shouldn't be spread evenly over that time, you know, that lengths of time, which are quite arbitrary.
Oh, ridiculous, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, during 2016, after a year-long pilot program, although people getting debts piloted or not didn't make any difference to them, the Online Compliance Intervention Scheme was officially launched. September 2016, Colleen Taylor says, "We were seconded to go and check that the fully automated debts were actually calculating it correctly. And they wanted a group of experienced debt calculators, and we were to do a manual calculation to see what we arrived at and compare that with what the fully automated system arrived at. And what was obvious straight away was this was being duplicated. The first three we looked at, duplication, both Woolworths and Big W, one was the trading name and one was the group entity name. One there was an apostrophe missing and a proprietary limited. So you or me could easily see that that was the same company, right? Whereas to a computer, it was completely different. And so she went to the supervisor and said, these debts are wrong. The supervisor said, if you don't like it, you can leave. It seemed to be, this is what I said earlier, it seemed to be you're either for us or against us. And we're supposed to be the Department of Human Services.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Now it's up to you, Jessica.
Yeah, well, I mean, just for people who might have tuned in, we're just going a bit of a blow-by-blow description of this sort of time sequence of the whole RoboDebt debacle. And Daryl's gone through the SBS TV show, which is The People versus RoboDebt. You can still watch it by SBS On Demand. Really good watch. But we're up to 2016. So 2016, yeah. Jeannie Marie Blake, the compliance officer at Centrelink, said they weren't trained to deal with the level of trauma that the customers were experiencing, in other words, the multiple debts. And some were very emotional, some were swearing, some were making threats, some were talking about suicide. And during the time, all the public servants knew the majority of the debts were incorrect, and it started to have a mental impact on the public servants as well. Then we have Christian Porter turns up. He's now the Minister for Social Services 2015 to 2017. So in December 2016, the first whistleblower talked to Christopher Nouse, a journalist for The Guardian. That's when the general public first learnt about income averaging, which is, again, the system, as we said earlier, using the computers and the tax data, which ended up forming all these fake debts. When The Guardian started reporting on this, the department basically rubbished the paper's reporting. Then on the 18th of Feb 2017, the Saturday paper published an article relating to Rhys Corso's suicide. He was 28 when he committed suicide on the 26th of January 2017. And the government started releasing Rhys Corso's personal data in defence. So very, very terribly for her. Shortly after his death, his mother was reading articles which were basically trumped up about how the government was calling her son a criminal. The reports by the non-mainstream media were continuously belittled and discounted by the government. And Alan Touch has denied that he engaged in a media strategy that discouraged illegitimate criticism of Robodebt. That's the first part. The documentary goes in three parts. So we'll be talking about the next two parts on the next show. Thoroughly recommend you having a look. But of course, the issues raised in the Royal Commission into Robodebt and also the issues raised in that documentary are still ongoing. So there is now a petition which has got a good few thousand signatures. And it's actually initiated by the young man, Rhys Corso's mother. The introduction to the petition goes, "The Royal Commission into the Robodebt scheme was powerful and proved, without a doubt, that further justice and accountability was recommended. In total, 57 recommendations. What is soul-destroying and disheartening is the failure of the National Anti-Corruption Commission in directing any form of justice or effective interventions towards this. Today, the real foundation of my plea is the need for transparency, justice and accountability. At its core is the demand for the release of a sealed section of the Robodebt Royal Commission, a crucial document shrouded in secrecy, which the public has a right to know." So, yeah, that petition, because it's very hard to read out petition links on the radio, I've just thrown it onto the AWU's, the Australian Unemployed Workers Union's Facebook page. So if you wanted to sign it or give a small donation, which is what often happens on these sort of petition sites, you're very much, I'm sure, it'd be very appreciated. And our Facebook page is just Facebook, the normal acronym, /AusUnemployment. So if you wanted to find us and read the latest news, that's where you find us.
I hope they release this information for these people that inquiry has named. They really need to be brought to justice, you know.
They said the excuse for having this sealed section of the Royal Commission was that it might prejudice future legal actions. But the thing is that it conveniently protects the bureaucrats who were involved with that whole mess. And of course, as listeners might know, who listen to our show pretty often, there is still, unfortunately, there's still these issues continuing. I'm just getting rid of my landline into the other room there. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
We know that there have been all these problems with people's centre pay not being monitored properly. So people are paying off centre pay debts, which they shouldn't be. We're going to be talking about that on the next show. That's only just come out in the last week. And then we have this whole problem of people's payments being cancelled, which again we've talked about on the show. We've talked about the changeover to inclusive employment for people who are under the DES, also it was announced that the government Centrelink now can't issue suspension notices or payment suspensions, and neither can the job centres from the 5th of January.
How can their payments be cancelled if that's been suspended?
They can't cancel people's payments.
But they can still suspend them.
to spend, yeah.
Right.
Sorry, I wasn't looking at the right bit.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, so, I know, it's all very confusing sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, so what it means is you might have mutual obligations and you might be threatened in the past. You can be threatened with a whole range of things if they regard you as not fulfilling your mutual obligations.
Mm-hmm.
But those, they aren't now allowed to completely cancel your payment as punishment.
Yeah, good.
But they can suspend it. And a suspension can often be overturned just by a phone call.
Well, so that's right,
So I suppose it comes back to us mentioning that if anyone is having trouble with job centres or with their Centrelink payments, we've got some great volunteers answering emails. And we have got our email address, which we'll remind you of. And do you want to do that, Daryl?
Our email address? It's advocacy@iuwu.org.au.
We've actually had quite a few emails in the last week, all the same kind of things. Had one email about pay slips being demanded, which, again, is
still
an ongoing issue.
I'm amazed by that because it's such a simple problem to fix. But I guess if you don't know what your rights are, it does make it hard, doesn't it?
Well, people have to, again, do their own research to try and find out what their rights are, and then that takes up time and energy, and that's a bit stressful.
Yeah, it's not easy. Not easy.
For listeners who might not know about that, it's when the job centres start, you get yourself a job, but they start demanding your pay slips at 12 weeks so that then they can get a payout from the government.
But there's nothing to say that you have to give it to them. And as I've said it before, look, if you're lucky enough to get yourself a job, regardless of whether they got it for you or you got it yourself, don't go racing back to your job provider and telling them about it. The best thing to do is just keep your mouth shut because they're going to find out eventually anyway.
Hopefully,
if you're getting full-time hours, or enough hours to stop getting settling payments, well, then they have nothing on you. That's the only thing they have on you is your settling payments.
And all the information on your employment details is all within the tax system anyway. So
if the job provider wants to know anything, they either go there or go to Centrelink and get the information there. That, incidentally, they're the only people you have to tell that you got a job or earning money is Centrelink, not your job provider, only Centrelink.
Well, we've probably swamped any listeners with a whole lot of information there, but I suppose, we'll be continuing to fight the fight, stand up for people and support people who are trying to deal with this vicious system.
Yeah, and gee, I'm looking at the time, it's 6:24 already. Gee, it was only quarter past a minute ago.
Time flies, yeah.
Oh, sure does. Well, this is the end of the show. Thanks for joining us. My name is Daryl and
I'm Jessica, down in Wonthaggi today.
Yeah, oh, nice area too. Lucky you. All right.
And, we'll continue this theme next week, I think.
We're going to have to. It's a big deal, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to join us again next week, same time. Stay tuned for the Eritrean Voice Show coming right up. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.